We are hoping you have questions. Yes, please go to the mics if you want to ask or respond so everyone can hear.
Over here. Ignore it.
There are many of my Catholic sisters and I who are struggling with the idea of vesting. Some of us have been invited to be lay presiders in our communities and have vested in elves and decided that we don't want to do that because it separates us from the community. And so I just wanted to know if you wanted to comment on how it's felt in your life to be part of a round table community and yet being singled out to wear a special garment that other people can't.
Very, very uncomfortable fit. It made it a little better that I could wear something that bore the handwork of the people I was in service to, and we could use the construction of such a garment to teach each other. What I wore was their lives, just reflected back. But the question now for me, if I move to the place that Letty has already gone to stand, if our church does not come within what I consider the movements of the Spirit in a reasonable length of time, by what authority do I continue to preside? I'm not alone in this. Others considering what it would mean to lay down ordination.
I would just say that it takes different strokes for different folks. And some people are struggling to have the right to wear a chasuble. And they need to do that to subvert the institution that says women can't wear it. And other people are struggling for the right to take it off, to move the table down among the people, to cut off the corners, and they need to be able to do that. We really have to recognize that in a whole web of dominance and subordination that we are all in, that we each have to pick our point of entry and really work with others to do it and not recognize that there's any one answer. It's always situation variable in a particular context what you will do.
Yep. I just want to respond to that too. I think Roman Catholics have given us a great gift with color and imagination that our bare walls and bare altars and bare tables need. So there's some element of that also, that the color enables us to think differently about what worship is about, and that's quite apart from the hierarchy that's still a problem. Two things happened at our table today. We were talking about subversion, and I just like your reflection on it. One was the usual thing that when you take a position of subversion, then a consequence may be that you split the church, or that the threat is used against you when you try to take a subversion position, that you will split the church, which creates caution, etc. That was one example that we heard about. Another example was in connection with some Roman Catholic women who, in the midst of probably a New York Times article with 10,000 names in it, somebody went through with a microscope and, or what do I call it? Magnifying glass. Went through with a magnifying glass and spotted the name of a faculty member, and ultimately the faculty member was fired. And then a group began to respond. We heard it this morning also in the AME, with the AME sisters. Group responded, and then the consequences were worse than what you thought they were at the beginning. So would you just respond to how you think about that as an illustration, those as illustrations of subversions and the consequence?
You take one, I'll take the other. You take one, I'll take the other.
Splitting the church. It was my good friend Father Hughes who once sighed listening to me complain about declining members. He said to me, "You have no idea what it's like to grieve for having lost half the world." Some reformations are impossible to prevent. So who are we to stand in the way? The best we can hope for is to pay attention and do the work that's ours to do.
I think also in terms of the accusation of splitting because you make a stand about something is always used to silence us. It's a tool of the master. You have to conform. For instance, right now at Yale Divinity School, the university is trying to downsize us. And as soon as we began to organize and to fight back to not allow them to move us or downsize us, immediately the main accusation was, we are splitting the faculty. We're going to cause a split in the faculty. It'll never be the same. Well, of course, it'll be never the same if they get rid of the school, too. So you have to try to be sensitive to the issues, but recognize that the first thing that'll happen when you try to stand up for some issue or for people who are marginal or some problem, as you will be, that was the best control issue the church has. So yeah. At least you need to get a lot of advice from your friends about whether you're selling out or whether it's a true thing.
There was a poem I read in a doctor's office. I wish I had
there I'm back. I think I was in no shape to have registered what magazine it was in, and I've looked for it for 10 years. I'll just lay it out about whether you can calculate risk when you're dealing with evil. It goes like this. I think it goes like this. This is how I now have it in my mind. When you are called and you walk to the edge of the light you've been given, and then are summoned one step beyond into the darkness which may hold a chasm, one of two things will happen. Either your foot will find firm ground, or you will be taught to fly. That's on the panel of an AIDS quilt. I'd dearly love to know who penned that.
The other question, be free to say again, if you want to support somebody, you have to sit with them and help sit and analyze all the political ramifications before you go ahead and support them in a way that does not help them. So as far as this ad in the paper.
Heather, I can tell you that that has been put to music by the Turtle Creek Chorale, which is the number one gay men's chorus that is located in Dallas, Texas. And if you call them, they have had permission from the author. He has been there at the world premiere of that particular poem.
We need to add that to the repertoire of this group, I think.
Great.
Question. I am a very patient woman, and I love the music we've been singing, but I find a tension in the song, soon enough, when I'm beginning to feel like yesterday wasn't soon enough. And so I'm just asking about the choice of words, although it's a beautiful song. Is anyone else experiencing a tension in those words?
You talked about being trespassers, and as a trespasser here, as one of the few men involved in this organization, one of the questions that I get, and I'm sure that as the first woman to do this and as the first one to do that, you felt a certain responsibility for carrying the burden of all of your gender. And I think some of us who are involved in that feel that kind of pressure. And we get asked the question, why are you here? Or why don't you men do this? Or why don't you do that? I would be interested in your comments and your advice as to how you would reflect on what kinds of acts of trespassing and subversion you would welcome from those who support the cause that we're celebrating here.
I think the best protection against being used as a generalization is to refuse to generalize. So I can't say what men ought to be doing in this organization. But I think that definitely within the organization you have to figure that out together. That is, the main thing is that you come to share and that you do what people tell you to do. Because whether it's black, white, male, female, gay, straight, whatever it is, if you want to be in solidarity with a group that is oppressed, you start by listening and standing with them and working on their issues the way they want. And you don't start by telling them how to do it, even if they do it wrong and fall into the hole.
Yes, here.
As the person who wrote Soon Enough, I felt that I should answer that question. You know, Call to Justice songs are designed to make tension in people. If you think about the words, "Do we shall overcome," it's about God help us, we shall overcome. And Soon Enough is about when we're ready enough. And that's not a decision that any of us made collectively. We can make it on our own time. About when you know your truth, and it's soon enough, and you'll do it. And nobody can tell you when that is. So I just.
Letty, will you please share additional thoughts about how to be in but not of the church?
Very carefully. What I mean by that is that each of us has to give an account of our own faith, and many of us continue to trust in God and to trust in the love of Jesus Christ and want to be part of a Christian community. And if that's true, then one has to declare that we are brought together by the Spirit, and that we belong together. And nevertheless, one has constantly to refuse to use the master's tools of the church to establish unity through uniformity, unity through doctrinal dominance. And therefore, one is constantly trying to discern how to really live out a unity in diversity, a multicultural unity, a unity that turns, what's the tradition, inside, front to back. And I think many feminists, Christian and Jewish feminists, are working very hard to claim the theological tradition and turn it on its head, just as Heather's been doing for the last hour, and turning it on its head to be not of the church in it, but reimagining its traditions and the power of the Spirit in people's lives.
Thank you very much. And while I happen to have the mic, I certainly would really like to have us join in thanking the planning committee, because they've tried to help us do just what Letty has been talking about.
The planning committee has said one more question.
I'd like to bring to the gathering a delightful story out of our Catholic tradition, and that is something that's been in the news lately, the Call to Action. The Call to Action is a reform group in the Catholic Church working for reform, and they will be meeting in Detroit in 2 weeks, and they're expecting 5,000-6,000 people for that. But a couple of years ago, Edwina Gately, who has given her life working with prostitutes, was the keynote speaker at one of the conferences, and she was invited to stand with the celebrant at the altar, and she put on a stole. Because of that action of wearing a stole, she was banned from speaking in many of our dioceses by the bishops around the country. So the next year, Call to Action met in Chicago. Everybody who attended was invited to bring a stole. So at the celebration of the liturgy, everybody had a stole except the people who were up at the altar, and they took off their stoles and put them down on the floor.